rest of the story. What you're about to hear you may find difficult to believe, especially considering all you've already heard about the Nazi atrocities during World War II. But there was one hypothetical atrocity even the Nazis considered unimaginable, the destruction of the German city of Dresden. You see, Dresden was a community of tremendous cultural significance. Magnificent old churches, splendid museums containing priceless art treasures, immaculately preserved buildings from the 18th century. Dresden was a showplace of Baroque architecture, the crafting place for some of the world's finest china for 200 years. And so it was that the Nazis, the masters of the inconceivable, could not conceive of an Allied attack on that fabulous city, especially since the Germans had spared Oxford in the bombing of England. They were certain the Allies would spare Dresden in the bombing of Germany, but, well, this is the rest of the story. Despite the city's cultural significance, despite the fact that Dresden made no contribution whatever to the German war effort, despite that community's utter military defenselessness, the Allies virtually bombed it into oblivion. February 1945. The Allied blitzkrieg began in the middle of the night, ended 14 hours later, involved more than 1,200 British and American bombers. The relentless explosions transformed that cradle of 18th century beauty into a furnace, and the furnace became an 1,100-degree hurricane of fire, an actual firestorm that engulfed some 1,600 acres. 75,000 homes were destroyed, an estimated 135,000 lives were lost, twice as many as died at Hiroshima. The tactical stupidity of this massive destruction speaks for itself, but then that is war. Though the only targets of any conceivable military significance in or near Dresden were the marshaling yards and the railway stations, and those, incredibly, remained virtually untouched. Among the many subsequent critics of the Allied incineration of Dresden was Winston Churchill. He called it bombing for the sake of terror. And surely no one better captured the essence of that terror than an artist named Hans Grundig. I have in my possession a copy of his painting of the bombing of Dresden, and it is awesome. Overhead one sees the swarm of aircraft, the multitude of bombers flying in formations over the city. Below, the shambles, the desolation, the once lovely buildings gutted, and undefended Dresden in the throes of death, and also the people, the distant desperate figures, the hollow surreal faces and bony fingers. Artist Hans Grundig captured that day that the Nazis themselves believed would never come, that terrible day he captured forever on canvas. Yet it would not be accurate to call Grundig's painting a recreation. Maybe we should call it a vision. I don't know why. I don't know how. All I know is that he painted the bombing of Dresden, that he painted precisely that day, that place, in that war, while he, Hans Grundig, was living in the city. In 1936, 9 years before the bombs fell. And now you know the rest of the story.